This is Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscoane. A tattoo is often an expression of love. Think how many tattoos have the word mom drawn inside a heart. But what if that love affair involves science? Carl Zimmer began blogging about science-themed tattoos a few years ago and got a huge response. Chemists and biologists, paleontologists, mathematicians, astronomers, physicists began sending him pictures of their tattoos. They included double helixes, equations, molecules, galaxies, snakes, dinosaurs. Some of the body art was elaborate and colorful, covering an entire back, leg, or arm. Some were simple black and white letters and numbers that wrapped around a wrist. Well, Zimmer has collected many of them in his new book, along with his essays called Science Inc. We were intrigued and we asked him to be our guest today on Radio Times. He's a science writer. He writes the Discover Magazine's popular blog, The Loom. And Carl Zimmer, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so surprised you don't have a tattoo because they're so beautiful in here.
They are, but I'm just not fond of needles.
Is that right? Is that why you don't have a tattoo?
Yeah, it's just maybe someday I'll change my mind, but for now, no, it's okay.
Even though in here are obviously intriguing-looking tattoos, provocative, beautiful tattoos.
That's right, and I've already figured out what my tattoo would be, but it's just a matter of the pain.
Oh, and what would that tattoo be?
Well, there's a code for the building blocks of proteins, and each building block is abbreviated by a letter. And I could spell out my wife's name, Grace, in a tiny little protein. So I could do a molecule spelling out her name.
Oh, how nice is that? Well, that even reminds me of the first, I guess, science-themed tattoo that you saw, a neurobiologist whose last name is Data?
Yep, believe it or not.
And what was he sporting?
Well, Bob Data is a neurobiologist at Harvard, and one day I noticed on his shoulder a DNA tattoo. And that alone kind of struck me because I thought I've never seen a science tattoo. And it was kind of interesting to me that I thought I knew these scientists. I write about them all the time, and it turned out this guy had a tattoo. And I was so intrigued, and I asked him about it, and he started to explain that he had actually encoded his wife's initials in the genetic code of the DNA. So you can do it in a code in DNA, because what happens is DNA gets turned into protein. So he had it his wife's initials there. And when he explained that to me, I said, "Whoa,
geek love!" I think you called it.
It was a true expression of geek love. Absolutely.
I guess it happens when the weather's warmer, people are wearing T-shirts or bathing suits, and you begin to see the kind of tattoos that they might be wearing.
Right, yeah. If they're wearing a lab coat, you're probably not going to see anything.
But interestingly, after you were intrigued, clearly, and you started blogging about it, and it seemed like the response you got was just huge.
Yeah, because I could remember there was maybe one other scientist who I noticed had a tattoo related to his science. He had a big fish on his arm, and I thought, maybe I've just missed something. You know, I've been writing about science all this time, all these years, and maybe I've just totally missed this. And so I asked Bob if I could take a picture of his tattoo. He was perfectly happy to. And I put it on my blog, and I just put up an open question. I just said, are these the two people I know who have tattoos, or is this something more? And within about 10 minutes, my email box was starting to fill up with pictures of people in various states of undress and their tattoos. So I realized something was going on.
Were you surprised?
Very surprised. Every day, I would just be laughing when I would be looking through my email because one would be more out there than the previous one.
Now, your book obviously has beautiful tattoos, I would say. I mean, they cover the gamut, but some abstract, some very literal. I'm assuming you also got tattoos that weren't so pretty.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes down to, you know, the idea that the scientist has and the skill of the artist. And in either case, they can kind of fall apart. I mean, there was one case that was particularly bad, I thought, where someone was his hero was Charles Darwin, and he thought Charles Darwin was so radical. So he got a picture of Charles Darwin with a mohawk. And
big mistake,
yeah. So it's not in the book.
But you write, and it's interesting, the science is a desire for elegance, and maybe that is, you know, why these tattoos seem to be so popular, because a good tattoo is quite an elegant thing.
It is. And science is very visual, and people sometimes forget that. I mean, scientists very often think in images, in diagrams, in equations. Maybe they're studying a neuron, and different neurons look very different from each other. So scientists really think in pictures, and so it's not a big jump to go to make designing a tattoo.
And there's nothing new about tattooing. As you say, you know, mummies that have been unearthed have tattoos.
That's right. At least, I mean, the oldest skin that scientists have dug up, the oldest human skin, is 5,400 years old, and it has tattoos on it.
And what do you think that says about the human species?
I think that tattoos are just part of this bigger impulse that human beings have to identify ourselves. Actually, if you go into the fossil record, it's fascinating. You can find what looks like jewelry made out of shells, seashells, snail shells, that were probably worn as necklaces, as a way to identify a person and say, like, I'm part of this group, or I have this status in this group, and so on. And we're talking going back 50, 70,000 years. So I bet if you could find 50,000-year-old skin, you would find tattoos on it.
Because it's tribal. I mean, it's a statement, but it also says, you know, I'm part of this group of people.
Sure. And I mean, today you can go to lots of places in the world where tattoos play that role. You know, so in New Zealand, for example, the Maori have these spectacular face tattoos that not only tell you, you know, what group you're in, but also who you are in that group. Many cultures have tattoos as a central part. It's not, you know, we in Western culture have this kind of love-hate relationship with tattoos.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I guess we think of it as young people, they get drunk and they go get a tattoo, right?
That's the stereotype, or you're a biker or something like that. And it's a very interesting history. I mean, there were lots of tattoos in Europe before the advent of Christianity. And then the church just said, no more. They didn't come back until the 1700s. And we know exactly when they came back, because Captain Cook took a voyage to the Pacific and discovered people in New Zealand, people in Tahiti who had tattoos. And his sailors got tattoos from them, from the people they encountered, and they came back to Europe with tattoos. They even came back with the word tattoo. Right. That's exactly where it came from. And ever since then, it's been gradually coming back into Western culture.
I think there are public tattoos. I mean, the kind of tattoos that people wear because they want other people to see them. And then there are those private tattoos that are really there for either yourself or mm-hmm. yourself and your significant other.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that... I think for scientists, they actually very often are not eager for people to see their tattoos. And some people would send me pictures and just ask to be anonymous because they didn't have tenure yet. So they're in a, you know, they can be in a pretty conservative environment in some cases, but they. But they want this on their body. It's fascinating.
Well, your book is just full of, I have to say, just fascinating and in some cases absolutely breathtaking tattoos. One is a PhD chemistry student, Jessica Pikul, P-I-K-U-L. She studies enzymes, as you write. She also suffers from celiac, but the tattoo that she has is... celiac.
Right. I mean, so celiac involves defects and enzymes involved in digestion. And so she actually has that represented in a molecular image on her leg. And you know, there are a lot of these very personal stories that people have, these scientists have tattooed on their bodies. Right. I mean, there's a neuroscientist whose father died of Lou Gehrig's disease. And Lou Gehrig's disease attacks a particular kind of neuron. And that's why you die, because these are the neurons that let you that send messages to your muscles. And so she has that neuron tattooed on her on her foot, because the death of her father when she was 18 made her decide she was going to become a neuroscientist. There are these incredible personal stories wrapped into the science.
I mean, it's an interesting way of sort of owning something,
right?
I mean, whether it's a condition or something that happened to you.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, people, it's very common for people who are not scientists a very common kind of tattoo is like if there's a death of a wife or a child or something, people will get tattoos on their skin of that. So, you know, that's one way of dealing with these kinds of experiences.
Well, and not surprisingly here, a number of these scientists describe being young, you know, seeing something for the first time. A guy named Gregory von Nessy was 6 years old and asked mother or father, you know, what is infinity? And as he says, his curiosity just was boundless at that point. What is infinity?
Right. You do get a kind of a glimpse into what makes a scientist from these tattoos, because it's true that, you know, a lot of scientists, and I think a lot of us who love science, it started when we were kids. We happened to be introduced to it by like a great science teacher or a great book or an image or something, and it just took hold of us and never stopped. And so, you know, in that case, you might have a tattoo that shows a very complicated expression for infinity, a mathematical equation perhaps, but still, it all comes out of that original curiosity and passion.
Someone else, a woman named Nicole Ackerman, talks about it's Taylor's sign, S-I-N-E, the most beautiful thing I ever learned.
Right.
Which is wonderful when you think about it.
Yeah. And well, mathematicians are particularly taken by beauty.
Yes.
The equations that that they deal with can explain so much in so little space. And so a lot of people will just get equations on their body because they're just so amazed that you could actually come up with an equation with maybe three or four terms that could do so much in explaining the universe.
Well, and there are a number of examples of equations, you know, almost like a bracelet,
yeah,
or an equation around the forearm, as a statement of a certain passion that you have for mathematical equations.
Right. And there's probably, I mean, we were talking about sort of how you identify yourself in a group. I mean, you know, not everybody might be able to recognize, you know, an equation for a sign or something like an equation called Euler's identity or something like that. So I bet that they're kind of like, you know, looking for other mathematicians to kind of raise their eyebrow or wink and like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know why you got that tattoo.
And the people that you talked to, did they talk about the pain of getting a tattoo or they had moved beyond that?
People didn't talk much about the pain. I've wondered maybe that's why some people get tattoos and some people like me don't.
Because you think too much about the pain?
Yeah, or just, you know, there's some people just aren't so squeamish about needles. Or maybe they just really want these tattoos.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're coming up on a break here. Let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. We are talking not just about tattoos, but about science tattoos. And our guest is Carl Zimmer. He's a science writer. And a couple of years ago, he put on his blog a couple of tattoos asking whether other scientists also had science-based tattoos. And lo and behold, he got inundated with all sorts of pictures of tattoos, many of them included in his new book called Science Inc., I-N-K. We're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation. We also have a second guest who will be joining us, Mandy Sowler, and we're going to be taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. If you have a science-themed tattoo, give us a call. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. Celebrate Charles Dutoit. Beginning his farewell concerts as chief conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra, Charles Dutoit leads Parisian classics of Mozart, Debussy, and Scriabin's The Poem of Ecstasy. Also, concertmaster David Kim plays the third violin concerto of Saint-Saëns. Tickets at 215-893-1999 or at philorc.org. This Friday and Saturday at the Kimmel Center, celebrate Charles Dutoit and the Philadelphia Orchestra.
I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We're in the final stretch of the spring membership campaign here at WHYY. We will end this drive as soon as we reach our goal, and we will do that with your pledge of support. We take very little time out of Radio Time to ask for your pledge of support, so please take advantage of this short break and make a call. Here's that phone number. It's 1-888-345-9499. You decide the amount of your pledge and then take that next step and call. Again, that phone number, 1-888-345-WHYY. And you can also pledge online at WHYY.org. Our job on Radio Times is to keep you up to speed on the news that's happening here in the Delaware Valley, across the country, and around the world. We also feature interviews with artists and historians and writers with thought-provoking ideas and, in some cases, amazing experiences. We have time to get behind the headlines and the sound bites. 1-888-345-9499-WHYY.org. Thanks very much. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We are talking about science and tattoos with our guest Carl Zimmer, science writer, author of a book called Science Inc., Tattoos of the Science Obsessed. He writes Discover Magazine's popular blog, The Loom. Joining us now is Mandy Soiler, and she's a body artist at M&M Tattooing and owner of Captivating Cosmetics. She's currently working with the University of Pennsylvania Health Systems and with the Whitney Center in New York City. And Mandy, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I know you've been a tattoo artist for what? How many years now?
17 years.
Wow. How old were you when you got started?
15.
Wow. And who introduced you to tattooing?
My mother. She owns a tattoo shop. She's been in business for about 27 years, so I grew up in her shop.
And I know that you do a number of things, but part of what you do is to help people after reconstructive surgery. What got you interested in that?
About 9 years into me tattooing, I discovered the world of cosmetic tattooing and medical tattooing, and it just took me in a whole new direction, and I just was fascinated with it and went and trained. And from that point on, it just really took me in a completely different direction with my career. And, I mean, I primarily do all the cosmetic and medical tattooing now. I only actually do body art one day a week.
Oh, that's so interesting. Where did you get your training?
I went to Florida, and I was actually with the Whitney Center. I trained with Melanie Whitney and at the Florida College of Natural Health, and she actually had asked, we actually learned from each other when I went there, since I was already tattooing so long at the time. And then I came back, and she had called me and asked me to come to Manhattan and work up there with her, too.
I know one of the things, or one of your areas of specialty, is dealing with women who've had mastectomies.
Yes.
And is it a matter of taking this? We're obviously on the radio here, but taking scars and turning them into artwork, or is it trying to make a breast look close to what it looked like before the surgery?
It's basically bringing the breast back to what we're trying, you know, to bring it back to the way it looked prior to surgery. So they'll go through the mastectomy, and then they'll have the reconstruction. The plastic surgeons will do the reconstruction, and they'll also even do, in some cases, they'll do a nipple reconstruction where they'll give them a little nipple, and then from that point on, I'll do the areola, the color around the nipple, place shading below the nipple, even give glands, Montgomery glands, to make it look like it's actually a real 3D nipple. And then there's people that don't choose to do the nipple reconstruction, which I can actually give illusion of protrusion, is what we call it, and actually give it a three-dimensional look.
Even though it's a two-dimensional surface.
Right.
And it looks 3D.
Yes.
And actually, let me get Carl Zimmer back in on the conversation. You two were speaking together recently about tattooing, and Carl was actually telling me that it really looks 3D, like a trondoy, which is, you know, obviously something that's two-dimensional but has that third dimension there.
Yeah, Mandy and I were talking at the Philadelphia Science Festival together, and it was really remarkable to look at the images she was showing, because you could see how artistry could be used in medicine to actually, you know, that an artist, like a tattoo artist, may have a better grasp of the appearance of the human body than, you know, just a regular plastic surgeon.
Mandy, do you have fine art training? Because in order to get that illusion of three dimensions, that requires a fair amount of painting skills.
I didn't actually take any art classes or anything. I think my art class was growing up in a tattoo shop, consistently drawing every day when I was younger, and was so amazed with the whole industry. I mean, that's all I did. So, I mean, I draw tattoos up for people all the time. It's part of my job, my everyday thing. It's what I do. I learned it from being around and working with other artists also in the shops. So it just came as, you know, part of my life.
I'm curious, when you're doing a, let's say, a nipple tattoo, you're obviously very close to somebody, head to head. What kind of conversations do you have? Do people want to be quiet or they want to talk to you?
Yeah, we talk. We have a good conversation. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, we'll talk about life. We'll talk about their situation. I mean, each patient that I have come in, you know, we talk about their individual situation and how their journey has been through breast cancer, because I'm the very end. I'm the usually what they call it is the icing on the cake. It's the last stage. They've gone through the whole process, so it's usually on average usually sometime around a year, and that's when they'll see me at the very end to do the last finaling touches. So when they're done with me, they're usually kind of complete cancer free and you know, can move on with their lives.
And are there other kinds of I guess medical tattooing that you do as well, besides the breast reconstruction or even nipple reconstruction?
I do scar camouflaging for hypopigmentated scars. So any scar that's whiter in area, I can repigmentate the scar with tattooing, which works really, really well. And I do a lot of since I started working in the plastic surgery department here at Perelman Center, I can do a lot of reconstructive things for people that have been in accidents or things like that, where they completely lost like a lip. I can recreate a lip or an eyebrow or different parts of the body, you know, placing shading in different areas that enhances a part of the body to make it look realistic as I can. And, you know, I do other things too for different medical conditions, such as alopecia, where they don't have any hair. I can, you know, repigmentate someone's eyebrows to give them brows if they don't have any hair, or vitiligo, or trichotillomania. There's different skin conditions and different kinds of things that I can do with tattooing, which works great.
Carl, did you hear from doctors? I mean, when you put out your blog about science tattoos, did you hear from physicians?
Sure, yeah. There was one doctor who has a tattoo showing a different, the EKG traces from your heart, and it is showing one that was normal and one that means you're, you know, about to die of a heart attack on the same arm, just I guess in case you want to know. Actually, there are lots of doctors with tattoos, and Mandy has mentioned actually applying tattoos to plenty of doctors.
Yeah.
Again, usually hidden under the lab coat.
Is that true, Mandy?
Yeah, I do a lot of the people that you least expect to have them will have one. They're just hidden in different areas. Every profession I think I've actually tattooed, and it's just in that hidden area.
I wonder whether sometimes many people ask let's say they have a scar, but they want to turn they don't want to make the scar invisible or go away, but they want to turn it into, you know, a fish or a bird. Do you do that as well?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. A lot of cool stuff in the shop with not necessarily camouflaging the scar with the art. You know, I had one, for instance, that turned into like a zipper.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yes, different things you can turn the scars into that look really neat.
And that's Mandy Soler, and she's a body artist at M&M Tattooing, owner of Captivating Cosmetics. She's working actually with the University of Pennsylvania Health Systems and with the Whitney Center in New York City. Part of her job is to help people with scars related to things like mastectomies. Also with us is Carl Zimmer, science writer, author of a new book called Science Inc., Tattoos of the Science Obsessed. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Any tattoo questions, certainly give us a call. And if you have a science-themed tattoo, we want to hear from you as well. So, Mandy, I asked Carl whether he had a tattoo, and I was frankly shocked to learn that he didn't after putting this book together. But I'm assuming you have a tattoo or two?
I do. I have 7 tattoos.
And what do you have?
I have my kids' names. I actually have my son's name with a key. And it's an old-fashioned key, and the top of the key is shaped like a heart. And there's a ribbon on the key, and it attaches to the A in his name because he has the key to my heart.
Aww.
And I have a few flowers. I have a seahorse. I was telling yesterday, it was a funny story. I love my seahorse. It's beautiful, but the males have the babies. So I thought that was an interesting fact about seahorses that I really like. But a lot of flowers, I have the Eye of Ra, the Egyptian eye, the symbol. It's a protection. They say it's a... the meaning of it is protection from evil and passageway to heaven. There's a few meanings for it, but
And who does your tattoos?
Majority of my tattoos, my mom did.
Oh, how nice. Mm-hmm. And are they in places where we could see them, or are they more in private spots?
Mostly all my tattoos you can't see. If you look at me, I don't look like a tattoo artist. Everyone says that to me. I think they look at me and they say, you do tattoos. I don't have big holes in my ears. I don't have tattoos on my neck or my arms. I guess just growing up in the tattoo shop, I have some, but I just was so busy. It was hard to get other people to tattoo you.
Well, and it also, and Carl was talking about this earlier, is the kind of, I would say, wrongful stereotype about people who have tattoos, the idea that you have to be some kind of counterculture person. But it sounds like, Mandy, we would be surprised about our doctor having a tattoo, for instance.
Oh, yeah. I've did my dentist. I've done plenty of doctors, lawyers, teachers. I did my two middle school teachers. I mean, a wide range of people that you would never suspect. Oh, you know, I did a 78-year-old woman. She came in the shop. I thought she was walking into the wrong place, you know, even when I look at her. And it was her first tattoo, and she got a tiny little rose on her wrist, and she said she always wanted to do it.
Oh, that's so nice. But Carl Zimmer hasn't enlisted your help, Mandy. Not yet. I'm not gonna force this. Let me get a couple of callers before I have to say goodbye to you, Mandy. We have looks like Dolly from Mount Airy, and Dolly, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm really happy to hear this topic today because for years I've been wondering how to get my mastectomy tattooing corrected. It was done by my plastic surgeon. It was done, God bless him, really badly, and I wanted to know how I would get that corrected. I have no 3D, nothing like that, and it's the coloring is uneven. Is there a way to correct it the way you could correct a regular tattoo, or am I stuck with it now?
Mandy?
Yes, you can correct it, most certainly. I've done plenty of corrections where you just have a flat pink circle or it's barely there. It's just a matter of taking the pigment and enhancing it over top of what you have. So it's most certainly can be done. So you just apply the pigment over what you have. You can even choose it like a different color and just enhance it by putting shading under the nipple and appearance of glands. How long ago have you had it done?
Do you remember how long ago it was, Dolly?
Yeah. It was 8 years ago.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, so it should be fine.
Okay.
Okay, great.
No,
thank you.
Thanks for calling into Radio Times. And Carl, in your book, you include a section on, I guess, advice for photographing tattoos, the kind of do's and don'ts of that.
Well, I would start to get, people were sending me pictures, and you know, and I think the most common time for someone to take a picture of a tattoo is right after they have gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're so proud, right?
They're so proud, and it is really not something you want to look at. The skin is just not in a good shape. So I asked people, just wait a month, and then take a really nice picture with good lighting and send it to me, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
But I did want to say, you know, with Mandy, I mean, her artistry is really impressive, and in the book, like, these pictures are scientifically accurate down to incredible detail. This is not, you know, sort of kid drawing stuff. This stuff is meets the strict requirements of these scientists. It's great stuff.
I would absolutely agree. And Mandy, before we have to say goodbye to you, what are some of the, I guess, the do's and don'ts of getting a tattoo, things that people should be aware of?
Well, the do's, just, you know, coming in with some idea of what you want to have and making sure it's something that you want to have forever.
Yeah.
And the don'ts, you know, taking care of your tattoo, and don't come get it if you're going to go on vacation that week. And I don't know. There's plenty of do's and don'ts depending on the situation.
Sure. And think about things like hygiene, I guess, even the person who's doing that particular tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely just research. Check out portfolios is, I think, a big thing. I don't know too much about I hear a lot of people going to tattoo parties. I would say don't.
Oh, a tattoo party meaning everyone gets together and then gets a tattoo together?
Out of someone's house, and it's very unsanitary, and we do a lot of correcting of tattoo party tattoos.
Oh, interesting. You also do, do you have a couple more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, great. You also do permanent makeup?
Yes.
How does that work?
I actually tattoo eyebrows, eyeliner, lips, it's basically just enhancing what you have so you don't have to reapply your cosmetics every day. I have my eyeliner tattooed on, mm-hmm. and I don't have to put my eyeliner on every day. It's a very natural, subtle look. I do eyebrows with hairline strokes, so once they heal, they look very soft and natural, and you would never know someone had permanent cosmetics done if it's done correctly.
Does that hurt the eye line? I mean, I'm thinking around the eye, which is such a sensitive area.
I typically use anesthetic on all cosmetic procedures. Not so much for tattoos. We do offer it, but we don't use it a lot right. in the tattoo shop versus the cosmetic industry.
And tattoos over time, I mean, they age, they lose color, skin loses firmness. I mean, sometimes a tattoo would begin to look like something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The sun is the number one thing that's going to fade your tattoo over time. And, you know, depending on where you put it, I guess it could look stretched out if you gain weight or, you know, but it usually will keep its form depending on how it's done also.
Let me get to Christine from Center City, Philadelphia to join our conversation. Christine, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm a MD PhD student, and I have a portrait tattoo of Charles Darwin on my right calf. And I got it a few years ago now, maybe almost 5 years ago now. And I got it because I'm really into evolution, I'm really into science, and all this stuff was going on in Pennsylvania, all the Dover school district stuff, where people were kind of trying to, like, throw evolution away like it wasn't something that was important. And it's such a fundamental concept to every area of science, but particularly medicine. And I don't know, I was ready personally to show that it was that important to me and have it on my body forever, so in a place that people could see it. So that's why I went for it.
That's a great story. Let me give Carl Zimmer a chance to weigh in on that. The idea of being, I guess, offended by this Dover, Pennsylvania case about Darwin and evolution and putting it on her leg.
Yeah, for biologists, Charles Darwin is really the founder of modern biology because he figured out a way to give it a scientific grounding with evolution. It's that fundamental. And so I actually ended up having to set aside a whole section of my book about Darwin, because there were so many people with Darwin tattoos, you know, Darwin's face kind of growing out of a tree of life, or there are actually people who get tattoos out of his notebook sketches. He actually sketched out the tree of life in 1839 and put a little noted to himself, I think, at the top of it because he was working it out. I even got an email where someone just got that, I think, on his wrist, and perfectly in his handwriting. So, you know, Darwin is deeply important to people with tattoos.
Christine, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Mandy, have you done Darwin-themed tattoos?
I personally haven't done a Darwin tattoo now.
And we're almost out of time here for our segment with you, Mandy, but is there a memorable tattoo for you, one that you have done for somebody?
I've done a whole back piece that was, you know, American flags with the eagles and everything, symbolizing, you know, America and everything, which was a really great piece. I enjoyed doing it.
And on something like that, are you working off a picture, or do you draw the outlines on someone's back and then fill it in with the ink?
Typically, it's done all different ways. Sometimes I'll just take a pen and I draw on someone before I do it. In other cases, we pre-draw the tattoo out and then we make a stencil and apply the stencil with an outline. So it's just an outline, but everything inside the outline is the artistic part of it. You know, I mean, you have to grasp the shading and the coloring and the depths and everything else.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. That's Mandy Soller, and she's a body artist at M&M Tattooing. As I said, owner of Captivating Cosmetics, working with the University of Pennsylvania Health System and the Whitney Center in New York City. Carl Zimmer staying with us for the rest of the hour. We're talking about science and tattoos, and we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We'll be right back.
First Trust Bank supports WHYY, and First Trust supports Philadelphia's business community. Whether you need a loan, a line of credit, real estate financing, or cash management services, First Trust is here, ready to help. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. It's a spring membership campaign here at WHYY. Have you called in and become a member? You depend on us to keep you informed and entertained, and we depend on you to support the programs that you enjoy. It's just that simple. It's what's allowed WHYY to grow and keep you connected to the world. So please pick up your phone and make a pledge right now at 1-888-345-9499, and you can pledge online at WHYY.org. In fact, one of the ways that WHYY has grown is online. And on Radio Times, we have a very active Facebook page that takes you inside the workings of the show. You can also follow us on Twitter and keep up with our topics and guests on our webpage. And of course, every day we bring you in-depth interviews about important issues, and you can be part of those conversations. That's what we do. Here's what you need to do. Pick up the phone, 1-888-345-9499, or you can pledge online at WHYY.org. Thanks.
Supporting WHYY, Bosch Thermotechnology, manufacturer of geothermal heat pumps that use the constant temperature of the earth to heat and cool homes. More information at boschgeo.com.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. You might be surprised, even shocked, who has a tattoo. Carl Zimmer saw a tattoo that was sported by a Harvard University neurobiologist, Sandeep Robert Datta, at a swimming pool party a few years ago. It was a twisting ladder of DNA with a message of love inside or embedded in that tattoo. And Zimmer was intrigued and has become, as he says, a scholar of Science, Inc., a curator of tattoos. And he's got a book called Science, Inc., I-N-K, and it features elegant and clever, detailed, colorful tattoos from just about every field in science. And he joins us on Radio Times to talk about science and tattooing. And we'd love to hear from you, especially if you have a tattoo that is in some way an homage to science. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Carl, as you were telling our caller before the break, Darwin and evolution, that plays a pretty important role when it comes to science. There's a wonderful tattoo in here called the Blind Watchmaker. There's a reason that it's called that. Can you talk a bit about this particular tattoo?
Sure. That phrase, the Blind Watchmaker, it comes from a book, the title of a book by Richard Dawkins, where Richard Dawkins, this English biologist, was trying to help people understand how it is that evolution gives rise to very complex things like our eyes and so on, when there's nobody there, you know, saying, okay, this piece goes there and this piece goes there. It's natural processes that give rise to it. And so he said, well, it's kind of like a blind watchmaker making a watch. And so someone decided to get a tattoo with Darwin as the blind watchmaker.
Yes.
It's a kind of a steampunk style with, you know, he's got these big blind man's glasses on, and he's working away at building something, and there's strange things coming out of his brain. It's kind of a amazing hallucination of evolutionary biology.
Well, and it looks like this is somebody's leg, I would say.
It's so a leg, it's, yeah.
And I have to say, and I realize you probably picked the best of the tattoos that you got, but some really fancy, complicated, gifted tattoo artists at work. I mean, you see their work here, and this is just, you know, full of life and color and detail.
Yeah, there's one of a dinosaur called Deinonychus, which where it's one of these Jurassic Park type dinosaurs that's running through a forest when the sun is coming through, and it's just breathtaking. I mean, it's amazing. The sad thing is that scientists now know that Deinonychus, which is related to birds, had feathers.
Yes.
And so that reptilian skin on Deinonychus is going to have to be retattooed, I'm afraid.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because obviously in science we're learning so much more as time goes on, whether it's, you know, the galaxies or whatever. You know, Pluto got kicked out, but not so long ago. I'm assuming people might include Pluto, but now he's been demoted.
That's right. Actually, someone does have a solar system on his stomach, and he does have Pluto there, and I think he has to have that taken off.
Interesting, just to be current,
just to be consistent. It's not a planet anymore.
I don't know how to say this, but you talk about a biologist named Marcus Davis at Kennesaw State University, and his tattoo, it's gorgeous. What can I say? Can you talk a little bit about what this creature was, I guess?
Yes, this creature, it is a tongue twister. It's called Eusthenopteron, and it was around about 380 million years ago in what is now Canada, and it's just a big, mean-looking fish. But it's very important because it's actually a very close relative to vertebrates that live on land, like us, that have legs and arms and so on. And its fins give you clues to how our own limbs evolved from fins. And this scientist actually studies that transition. He actually studies fish and watches their fins develop when they're embryos and looks at which genes control it. Because the amazing thing is that a lot of the same genes that build a fish's fins build our arms. It's just that they do it in, they work in slightly different patterns, and you get very dramatically different forms. That's one of the biggest realizations of modern biology, is how little changes like this can lead to big differences. And he's got it there on his tattoo on his arm.
Absolutely. You also tell, and I have to say this is a horrifying story. One is it's about a boa constrictor. First of all, the tattoo is gorgeous, and I mean it is as lifelike as a boa constrictor could be on somebody's arm. Who is this? And obviously, or what's actually a woman named Maggie Owens?
Yes. So, and Maggie owns a I believe it's a northern Brazil boa constrictor, and she had a wonderful picture taken where she's holding the boa constrictor in her hands with her tattoo on her leg next to it, and it almost has the same pose. And you can see just how good it is. This is what I was talking about before, about the natural history illustration skills of some tattoo artists is stunning. I was just wanted to learn more about this kind of particular kind of snake. And for some reason, the most interesting thing I found out about it was this medical report about a person who owned one of these snakes and was giving it a bath. I didn't know people gave snakes baths. Pythons, I don't know about giving it a bath. In any case, the python did not enjoy the bath and basically sprang at its owner and sunk its teeth into the owner's eye and wrapped around its neck. And the police came, but they were scared of snakes, and so they couldn't do anything. And so this is all in a medical journal.
It isn't.
And the firemen came, and they took this person to the hospital, and there they gradually, were able to get the teeth out of the eye. It's just, quite horrific. And I guess it means that you should be very careful when you give your boa constrictor a bath.
Indeed. A cautionary tale. Just so one final sentence in this report. The multiple small recurved teeth could not be disengaged, so the patient was transferred to a nearby emergency department with a snake's head attached to his eye.
Yeah, I guess they cut
off. What a horrifying thought.
They cut off the rest of the snake, because it was going to kill the person. Wow. Yeah, not all these tattoos have such grisly backstories, fortunately.
Yes, indeed. Well, let me get some more callers in at 1-888-477-9499. And we have Stephanie from Brick, New Jersey joining us on Radio Time. Stephanie, go ahead. You're on the air. That would be number three. Yes, go ahead, Stephanie. You're on Radio Time.
I have a friend who has a depiction of the golden ratio on the top of her foot. It's like the rectangle illustrated with a cross-section like of a snail going through. It's very, very cool. And I'm a long-term math nerd. I was also wondering what the coolest mathematics-related tattoo you've ever seen was.
And what is your definition of cool, Stephanie?
I don't know, the most in-depth. I'm a mathematics major, so I like the ones I've seen people with proofs written on their backs. I saw one with a unit circle. Things like that, equations. I don't know, very, very in-depth and detailed.
Does that mean you're thinking about getting a tattoo, Stephanie?
I am. I would love to. I actually really liked the idea of the I think.
Yes.
I think that's remarkable.
And where would you put I think?
I'm not sure. I like the wrist placement, but I also want to go into the professional world, so I probably would have it hidden, possibly on my upper back.
Fair enough. Let me give Carl Zimmer a chance to weigh in. The coolest?
Well, the golden ratio is quite cool. I mean, it's this concept that the Greeks had of this perfect kind of proportion of shapes, and so you can trace it out as a rectangle with a nautilus shell kind of spiraling inwards. You can actually express it mathematically. It's this fascinating property of nature. There are some equations actually that involve physics that I just find actually quite amazing.
Such as?
Well, there's one called the Dirac equation that somehow is able to combine all of general relativity and all of quantum physics, the macro of the universe and the micro of atoms, in one equation. And it's not that long.
Wow.
The idea that one person could think that up is just mind-blowing.
Stephanie, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And here's
Thank you. That's great.
Thanks for and good luck to you as well. Carl, here's another one. Newton and Einstein, someone's arms. We don't see what their head or what they look like. On one is E equals MC squared. On the other, F equals MA.
Right. And again, two classic formulae. I mean, Newton, you know, was able to describe how, you know, how forces are generated, and you can predict all sorts of things from that. I mean, that's how we get spacecraft to Saturn. We use F equals MA, and not much more. E equals MC squared is also short, but it's an update on Isaac Newton. And Albert Einstein says, well, okay, yes, that makes sense to a certain extent what Newton is saying, but then there's something way beyond that. This whole idea that space can curve and that that mass can change as you approach the speed of light and things like that. And that's actually, you know, something that's also very important to our lives. I mean, that's part of, you know, how our computers work and things like that, and how GPS works, that we know those things. And so these are you know, these tattoos actually have a lot to do with our ordinary lives.
Indeed. Thanks for calling into Radio Times. You can call as well, 1-888-477-9499. And we have Alice from Newark, Delaware, joining us on Radio Times. Alice, go ahead. You're on the air.
Marty, I have some little polka dot tattoos on my chest that I received as someone undergoing radiation therapy at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania in 1983. And those little dots directed the rays of radiation, you know, that were healing for me all those years ago. And I'm very proud of those little dots. They remind me of the achievement, not only of technology, but of what I was able to undergo.
Oh, that's
so. My grandchildren look at them and say, "Oh, what's that?" And I'm sorry, I'm choking up.
Oh.
But I'm very grateful to the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania's and their little dots that mark my chest and where I have been healed from cancer.
Well, Alice, it's a really profound phone call, and it speaks to, obviously, the emotion involved and obviously your gratefulness as well. But and I'm interested that these tattoos are a reminder of obviously a difficult time, but also here you are, right? Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
And actually, someone sent me exactly that kind of a tattoo, a radiation guide for when they were being treated for cancer. And he sent it to me saying, like, this is my favorite tattoo because this is why I'm here. And he always looks at it and has the same thoughts that the caller did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perhaps the most important tattoo they could ever get.
Indeed. Alice, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And it also speaks to the fact that in her case, obviously, this tattoo means a lot. But I think for probably anybody to undergo or to decide to, in a sense, mark your body, mark it probably for the rest of your life, is a very profound, even emotional thing to do.
It is. It is. And I mean, you know, I guess there are people who get tattooed, you know, just get drunk and go get a tattoo and wake up in the morning and wonder what they did. But these scientists in this book spend a lot of time thinking about this.
Yes.
They're scientists, and so they're very, you know, some of them will be thinking about this for years until they have just the right one and just exactly how they want it and so on. So it's very methodical, and it speaks to something very, very deep and important to them.
And that's Carl Zimmer, our guest today on Radio Times. He is he actually writes for Discover Magazine's popular blog called The Loom. And a couple of years ago, he posted some tattoos and a question to some of the other scientists about their particular tattoo. He got a pretty overwhelming response, and many of those tattoos included in his new book called Science Inc., I-N-K. And he joins us on Radio Times. You can join us as well by giving us a call at 1-888-477-9499. I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. Actually, going through this book and looking at all these beautiful tattoos, a couple of years ago, I remember interviewing a classical musician, plays with a very well-known orchestra, and is pretty much tattooed head to toe.
Mm.
You know, I mean, just a little bit under the collar line and down to the cuff line and down to the ankle line as well. Did you come across that as someone that really had covered their whole body with tattoos?
There were a few people who had the total body tattoo. Yeah, there was a geologist who just was head-to-toe images having to do with geology, and that's amazing. I mean, that kind of thing takes years. There was someone, sometimes people will dedicate their entire back to like one scene, you know, and the back is a lot of real estate when it comes to tattoos. Yeah. And so my favorite back tattoo was someone who decided to dedicate it to this catastrophe that happened 65 million years ago called the KT mass extinction. What happened was that a rock about 5 or 6 miles across crashed into the earth and set the atmosphere on fire and cast dust all over the planet, total blackness, and all the big dinosaurs became extinct. About maybe 50% of all species disappeared. And he's got that on his back. He's got, you know, little bits of rock flying through the heads of dinosaurs and flames, and it's quite something.
Yeah. And another more simple and tragic and elegant was also the name of astronauts. I think it was after the Challenger disaster. One of the scientists decided to put the names of astronauts, I think, on their arm.
Yeah. Like all of the astronauts who've died in NASA missions. Mm-hmm. And I think and there's a case where someone is not trying to hide their tattoo. Actually, he's got it on his arm, and you know, people ask about it, and then that's an opportunity for him to talk about these people and each of these people in a way to remember them, to talk about people who gave their lives so that we could explore space.
Are you surprised that you have, in a sense, unearthed this whole world of science and tattoos?
I am. I'm still surprised. I mean, I had no idea that this existed, and what's interesting to me is that it seems that very often the scientists themselves with the tattoos didn't know that this community existed. They see my blog or they see the book and then they email me and said, I thought I was the only scientist on Earth who was crazy enough to get a tattoo. And now I know there are all these other people out there.
And you're here to tell us that they're not alone, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And the book is called Science, Inc., and it's written by our guest, Carl Zimmer. And again, he writes the Discover Magazine's blog, The Loom, and the book is based on tattoos that he received from scientists from all over the world, including chemists and biologists, paleontologists, mathematicians. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes. In fact, we put some of those tattoos on our Facebook page. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. The show is produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Builder. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us.